Well, I'm thankful to be here this morning. It's nice to see everybody here. Thankful that I have found what I needed in life. And I'm pleased to know that everybody that is here this morning can also find, if you haven't already, just exactly what you need in life. I have a teaching message or lesson this morning. I hope that's all right with you. I was real blessed with the message last night. Felt like it was needful for us. It was serious, thought-provoking, and it gives me pause. And I was encouraged that feel like the Lord has been dealing with me along similar lines, and I feel that Lord would be pleased with backing that message up this morning. Not a replacement message at all. I agree with everything that was said. I don't feel like I can add to it from that standpoint. But I have something that I hope you'll be able to get some good out of. I'd like to start in the 9th chapter of Luke and read a verse. Maybe we'll read two verses. Luke 9 and 43. So then they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, but while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples. Now listen to what he said to his disciples. He said, "Let these things sink deep into your ears." Have you ever thought about that very much? Let these things sink deep into your ears. Now this morning we've got a lot of people here. I'm sure there's a lot of things that everyone's looking forward to doing, and I'm happy that we can all do that. Sometimes we can come to church because it's just church time, and all we end up doing is hearing what's said, and then we go out the door and we leave without allowing what is said to sink deep into our hearts. And I don't want to do that in my life when it comes to spiritual things. There are some things I want to hear and let it go. Not let it sink into my heart and life. But the things of the Lord and the things of the Word, we want to do more than hear it. We want it to become part of us. We want to let these things absorb into our hearts and lives so that the Lord is able to come out. We want to gain understanding with the things that we hear. We want to gain understanding to the point that we become committed to what it is that we've heard and understand so that it can come out of our life and that the Lord is able to be manifested in how I live my life. And so it's going to take more than just hearing. And so this morning, let's do more than hear. Let's let the things that we hear sink deep into our hearts. And I'll just make this little comment. I've been in a lot of meetings at work, and we go in and somebody says, "Everyone turn off your cell phones." And you know why they say that? Because they don't want us distracted by what it is, the content of the meeting. They want everyone to be focused. And so I would encourage you that when you come into the house of the Lord, to turn off your social media. Don't put the Lord on hold. When you're in church and the word of the Lord or the singing or the prayers and the phone buzzes, it's almost like you put the Lord on hold while you do whatever. And so I would just encourage you, you can't allow the word of the Lord to sink deep into your hearts and be absorbed when you allow the external things of this life to interfere. Don't allow the enemy to have a place to interfere with what God wants you to have by coming right into our service with seemingly harmless things. Let's focus on the word of the Lord. Let's give Him our whole attention and our heart, because much is at stake. I'd like to turn now and read in Matthew, the 13th chapter. And we'll read here a little bit about the parable of the sower. And we'll start in the... We won't read all of it for the sake of time, but we'll start maybe in the third verse. It said, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Now, we've all heard this parable a lot of times, so don't zone out while we're reading the parable because you feel like you already know the parable. Let's do everything we can to focus in, listen to the words of the Lord, because I find that many times, things that I've heard a lot of times, that when I give myself to it, the Lord will turn the light on in areas that I've never thought of before. He can do that for you too. So listen to the parable of the sower. This is because it has so much applicability to our lives today. It says, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now listen to what he said. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He had something to impart. So he said, if you have ears to hear, and I think everybody here is able to understand and hear what's being said, then let's hear. So now let's skip down to the 19th verse, or the 18th. He said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." So now he's going to give an explanation. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself." No, there was no commitment. Had no commitment in himself. He heard it, had some understanding, received it with joy, but there wasn't any level of commitment. And so, it was there for a while. But when tribulation or persecution came as a result of the word, as a result of the truth, now when hardship comes, because of that, it said that by and by he's offended. "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches," and I want to insert here, "and the wisdom of the world, comes in and chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word." Okay, let's listen to this, because I want to be good ground. "He that receiveth good into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So there were three things that happened. This is what I want to get a hold of now. I want to be good ground. And so I want to understand what it was about the good ground that caused it to be good ground. And this is the lesson this morning. Choose to be good ground. You choose to be good ground. We heard last night that we have a responsibility to keep our hearts pure. We have that responsibility. And this morning, you can choose to be good ground. I want to know what the good ground is. And so, there were three things. The first thing is that he heard the word. That's what happened. That's what it said. He that received seed in the good ground, it said, he that heareth the word. That's the first thing. He heard the word. The second was that he came to an understanding of it. He heard the word, then he understood it, and then what happened? He allowed it to bear fruit. Because if you listen to one of the other cases, there was somebody that heard the word, gained some understanding, and with joy took it. But then things came up and they lost what they had. And there was not fruit that was born. So that it didn't do them any good to hear it and understand it if there was no fruit. So we have to go past hearing and understanding. We have to be committed. Committed. We have to choose to hear it, understand it, and be committed to the truth so that fruit can come out of our lives. And these are the three things that he said. We make choices every day that decide whether we are going to be good ground. You don't just end up good ground, bad ground, thorny ground, stony ground. I'll acknowledge I used to read this and think, well, the poor stony ground, it was just unfortunate that it was stony ground and it was just made that way and couldn't do anything about it. And the thorns were there. Sure wish I could be the good ground, because then everything could turn out okay. Well, you drive through Oregon, you see some beautiful plots of ground out there, don't you? When you come back to Oregon, when you've been away for a while, and you see all that beauty and those beautiful pieces of ground, do you think that those flat, fertile, soil, green, did that just happen? Was it just so happened that somebody said, "Oh, look at this beautiful piece of ground. We'll just set up shop here because this is where fruit grows." Is that how it worked? No. There's a lot of work that went into it. A lot of that ground used to be stony ground. It used to be thorny ground. But there was a decision that was made. We want fruit to come out of this ground. So there was a choice that was made. To be good ground, you have a choice to make this morning on whether or not you are going to be good ground or not. It's your choice. A lot of people would like to absolve themselves of the responsibility that they have by saying, well, it's just not who I am. Well, the Lord wants to change who you are. The Lord wants to change your heart so that fruit can be born out of your life. Say, well, I'm different. The Lord's in the business of changing things that are different. He's in the business of taking whatever kind of ground you present. He is the master gardener. He has all the equipment that is needed to make you a beautiful piece of ground that can take the seed that is sown where fruit can come out of it. I believe that. Now, I'd like to consider a couple of human action models. This is the instruction part. So, says beliefs, thoughts, actions, results. This is a human action model that applies to all of us. The beliefs that you have affect the way you think about things, right? And the way that you process information and think about things, which is a result of your beliefs, it affects your thought process. You have a thought process, and when you get done thinking about something, now some people don't think before they act. We try to avoid that. But if all goes well, you think, and because of the thought process you have, then you act. And guess what happens from your actions? There are results. There are consequences. And then the consequences, I've said this, so if you've heard me say it, bear with me because I'll keep saying it. The consequences that result from the actions that you take, consequences, they're not human, They don't have a way of processing information. They don't think. They don't look at your motives. They are just a natural response to whatever action you take. The consequences don't say, he didn't mean for this to happen this way, so I won't apply the bad consequence that's getting ready to happen. That's not how it works. And the beautiful grounds that you see out there that grow fruit, the fruit didn't just happen to result because of nothing that occurred before it. It happened because of something that preceded it. And this is the reason. This is the fruit. This is the result. And the results came from actions. And actions come from the way you think and the way you process information. And the way you process information gets to the core beliefs that you have in your heart and in your life. And that's why Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. You remember that? In fact, he said it twice in the same chapter, just a few verses apart. He said, you'll know them by their fruits, and by their fruits ye shall know them. Have you ever heard anybody say, don't judge me, don't judge people by their fruits. Don't judge them by their actions. We're not given to judge. Well, we aren't given to judge people. God, and I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful two ways. I'm glad you're not judging me, my soul, and where I'm going to end up. And I'm also glad I'm not in the position to have to judge you on where you are in your soul. But the Lord did say, you'll get to know somebody by the pattern of their fruits. And you do. If I go by and there's a tree loaded with apples, and I say, what a beautiful orange tree. You're going to look at me and you're going to say, that's not an orange tree. That's an apple tree. And I might say, your judgment by its fruit. That's an apple tree right there. You shouldn't be so judgmental. And they're going to look at me like I'm crazy. Look and go, there's apples on there. And I'm going to say, but you don't know what's in the roots. You're just going from what's on the outside. And you're going to think I'm absolutely off my rocker, right? But that's the fruit that's on the tree, right? If it's loaded with apples, folks, it's an apple tree. That's the way it works. And in our lives, the fruit of our life begins to demonstrate who we are and what our heart is. If you're not comfortable with the fruit that's coming out of your life, we need to start looking backwards to start finding out, why is this? Why is this kind of fruit coming out of my life? Why did I do that? Why do I act like that? Why do I think the way that I think before I act like that? And what really do I believe? What really is down in my heart? The Lord wants us to be rooted and grounded in Him and have His beliefs and truth in our hearts so that it affects the way we think every day in all circumstances. Because then it'll affect how we act. And then the fruit will come out. And what the Lord wants, He wants this fruit to cause people to look to Him. He wants us to live a way that when other people look at us, yes, from afar, some people say, well, they just don't judge me by how I look. You just need to get to know me. Sometimes we don't have that luxury for everybody to get to know us. Sometimes they observe us from a distance. Sometimes people look good from a distance and you get to know them and you are disappointed. That works that way too. But I want to live my life so that if someone looks at me from afar in how I'm acting, yes, how I look, how I handle myself, I want what is coming out of me to look like a tree of righteousness. If you have righteousness down in your heart, then the decisions that you make on how you live your life in every area is going to result in fruit of righteousness that other people can look at and recognize it as, hey, that's not a tree, that's not a worldly tree. That's not a tree that yields fruit that I see everywhere else. That's a tree that has something different about it. I wonder about that tree. And then people will come and sometimes start to, they want a taste of it. They want to hold it. They want to look at it. They want, well, what is this? And then you have the opportunity for them to even get to know what the fruit of righteousness is in a better way. That's what I want to do. And the Lord wants us to live our lives so that that takes place in us. Some say, well, but I just don't see it that way. The reason that the fruit is what it is and it's different from the fruit that comes out of your life, it's just because my belief system, well, it's different from yours. Don't you hear that today? Even seems like more and more. Used to, it seemed like it was people out in the world, you know, you would hear that. But then the people in our church family, there's always been those. But it seems like more and more, right among us, you hear people say, well, I just don't see it that way. I don't believe that. And hence, because I don't believe it, and I like this one, and I don't want to be hypocritical about it, so I'm going to just go ahead and just be pretty blatant about it. And because I believe this, it's like it makes everything that follows okay. Because people say, well, but I just don't see it that way. I just don't believe it like that. Well, I'm going to write another one up here. This says understanding or exposure leads to awareness or exposure leads to understanding. And there's a critical spot right here that goes to commitment. This is a decision point. And you make a commitment. The things that you become aware of and exposed to, come to an understanding, and you make a decision. Commitment. And if you commit to these things, it begins to form what your core beliefs are. And then this follows. Then your beliefs, then your thoughts, your actions, your results. So when people say, well, I just don't see it that way. I don't believe it. As if that's the end all. There's nothing more that needs to be said. I just don't believe that. Saints, it goes further than that. Why don't you believe that? What have you allowed yourself to become aware of and exposed to? And when you become exposed and aware of something, do you give yourself to understand it? And I'm talking about things of God now. I'm talking about His Word. And His truth. I heard yesterday, I believe Brother Brian mentioned, that there was a concern that there was not enough time being spent in reading the Word of the Lord. Did you know that if you don't put yourself in an environment and expose yourself and become aware of the things above and the Word and the truth, you're never going to get to the place where you have beliefs that are centered on things above. Because you aren't putting yourself in a place, or you're not allowing the Spirit of God to come in and open your heart because you're somewhere else. And sometimes you become aware of it. Everybody that's here this morning is hearing this message. And you've heard, many of you here have heard lots of messages. You have become aware. Sometimes people say, well, I just don't understand it that way. I hear what you're saying, but I don't understand it that way. And I want to encourage you with this. Back to the time and space piece. Don't just immediately write off standards of holiness and doctrines that you don't understand. And lots of, have you ever noticed this, that a lot of times what you don't understand also matches up with what you don't want to do? Have you ever noticed that? It's almost like they go hand in hand. People say, well, I just don't understand it. And then you say, but if you did understand it, would you do this? Well, I don't really want to do that. I mean, it's almost like they always go hand in hand, because a lot of times you don't want to understand it, because it crosses the flesh. It crosses how you want to live your life. It's important for us to put ourselves in the place where we are exposed to and aware of the Word and the truth, and that we give ourselves to understand it. Give some time and space to it. Be willing and obedient. Ask the Lord to open your heart. Ask yourself, Lord, or ask yourself, if this really is the truth and the Lord reveals it to me, am I willing to become committed to it? Be brutally honest with yourself. If you're not honest with yourself, everything's off. I mean, this all starts to, well, it doesn't fall apart. It follows a very predictable pattern. That's what happens. The Lord wants us to become aware and understand His Word, and He doesn't want us to be as the one by the wayside, where we got some awareness, had some understanding, but then we didn't have the commitment. You need to choose to be good ground. You need to commit to it. And when you commit to the Word, and you give yourself to understand it, and you put yourself in the place where you're exposed to it, it'll start affecting how you believe. People before us said, well, I just don't believe that. Well, sometimes it's because they haven't given themselves to understand why it's being said in the first place. All they know is they don't want to live like that. I don't want to deny myself of that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to avoid those places. I don't want to present myself to the world in this way. This is how I kind of want to live. And we figure out how we want to live, and we got this all messed up. Then we fashion our beliefs and our commitment and understanding and exposure around the things that we want. Isn't that what we do as humans? Human nature, we tend to gravitate. We want to go and expose ourselves to the things that our flesh is drawn to, the things that our eyes are drawn to and our ears want to listen to, and the things that taste good and feel good and look good. That's where the world likes. That's where you'll find the world exposing themselves to that and gaining more and more understanding about those things. And then they commit themselves to those things. And where do you think their beliefs come from? And it just follows. That's where their beliefs come from. And so they think that way. They take actions that way. And that's why the results that come out. We don't just find ourselves with, oh, this is just where I ended up in life. People say, well, I'm just, bad luck just follows me around everywhere I go. Well, help me know who you are, because I probably don't want to be around you a whole lot, because you're probably making decisions all the time that's getting you in trouble. Bad fortune doesn't just follow people around for their whole lives. I mean, I know there's sometimes things that happen. But we find ourselves where we find ourselves in life largely because of decisions we make and what we become committed to. There's a scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. If you seek Him first, all the other things will follow like they're supposed to. The scripture says in Hebrews 10 and 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. How strong is your faith? If it's not very strong, you need to ask yourself, do I spend any time in the Word? Do I expose myself to it? Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. Study. Give yourself to understand what the truth is. Give yourself to be exposed to what truth is and what righteousness is and what this is all about. Because if you don't, you're not going to have faith. Your faith's going to be at a low ebb because you don't have a good understanding of it. I'll tell you what, when I start to become, maybe depressed is too strong of a word, but when you start getting down and your belief starts getting at a low ebb, it's time to go start reading some more. Time to start getting into the Word. Because when you start reading the Word, it's like, oh yes, there does remain a rest for the people of God. Oh, that's right. The Lord did say that there was tribulation in this world, but to be of good cheer because He overcame. Pardon? A leanness. Thank you. Give it time. Put yourself in those places. Solomon said about the commands of mothers and fathers to their children, he said, bind them about your neck and write them on the tables of your heart. What is he talking about? He's talking about do more than just hear it. Absorb it. Let it become part of you. Let it sink deep into your hearts. That's what God wants us to do. So the first thing, in summary now this morning, I want us to get a hold of this. Take this with you. In summary, put yourself where God's people are. Expose yourself to the Word of the Lord. Understand the need to be filled with His Spirit, who is the greatest teacher of all. Ask the Lord, Lord, how can I live so that You will find my temple an acceptable dwelling place for You? Because it's only when we're filled by the Spirit that our understanding can be enlightened. And we can get a vision of what this is all about. Young people, you need to have a vision. A vision that is lit up with an understanding of what all of this means. And if you don't expose yourself to the Word of the Lord and open yourself to His Spirit and come to service, do you know what's going to happen? The only normal thing to happen that can't happen will happen. You will find yourself exposed and aware of all of the things that the world puts out there. That's where your understanding comes from. That's what you become committed to. That's where your beliefs start to form around, because they all say, well, we don't see it like that. You don't have to do that and be saved. You can look like, go where, do what you want. The blood of Christ covers you. Just live a good life. You can find whatever out there. Don't let the world define your beliefs. That's what so many are doing today. We are outnumbered, okay? In this world. We're outnumbered. And there will be most times, there won't be a lot of people that believe like you do or should believe like you're believing around where you are, at work, at school, in your neighborhoods. The belief system's totally different. Don't allow the belief system of the world to shape your beliefs. And then to have some quick, pat answer, well, I just don't see it that way. You're right. That's the problem today. People don't see it that way. People grin, and you're going to grin at me, when older folks, and I don't consider myself older, but I'm older than my children, and when you start talking about things like tattoos and piercings, and you start getting this little smile that starts coming up on the young people's faces, because they say, Dad, we don't look at it the same way that you guys did. And I said, exactly right, you don't. Dad, I'm not saying my children say, that's what you hear. People say, we don't view it that way. Same with adultery, same with fornication, same with all kinds of lasciviousness, whatever it is, what you look at. Oh, Dad. Oh, old person. Oh, you guys are you're caught back in the 1800s. We can look at things and it doesn't affect us like it affected you, simple-minded people that didn't really understand what was going on out there. You're right. People don't see it the same way anymore. And I have no disagreement with that. You are exactly right. Don't look at it the same anymore. But it doesn't change the fact that truth remains unchanged. It doesn't matter that people view all of these sorts of marking your body and living with other people and doing all and homosexual, all this stuff that is now looked at as a more open-minded, liberated, more intelligent form than the simple, straightforward people with their blinders on that didn't really have a concept of what life was all about. That is false. It's a spirit of the enemy that is at work, that is being successful in causing our young people, too many of them, that have grown up around the church, to be subverted in their thinking to say, well, we don't see it that way anymore. You better hope you get to the place you see it that way, because those weren't just ideas that somebody came up with. They're founded in the Scripture. And when people say, well, I don't see it that way, I'd like to say, well, what is that based on? You don't see it that way based on what data? Well, I just don't see it that way. Well, have you searched the Scriptures? Have you exposed yourself to what the Bible teaches on those things? Well, maybe not as much as you do, but I just don't think that's necessary. Maybe you ought to go back and look at the fruit of what's coming out of the people's lives that are believing what you say you're believing. Look at what the fruit is. Look what it tastes like. Look where it leads. Look at the relative victory or absence of victory in the people's lives that are accepting the things that you now are saying, well, we don't see it that way anymore. Better look at the fruit. Because that's what's going to come out regardless. Your thoughts, your actions, results, your fruit. And the Scripture said, we will be judged by our works. We'll be judged by our secret things. We'll be judged by the fruit of our life. And people say, well, no, God's blood covers, Jesus' blood covers that. Yes, it does, but Jesus came to bring us a new heart. He came to change our mind. He came to fill us with a spirit that would cause our beliefs to become centered on truth and holiness and righteousness, which will affect our thoughts and our actions and the fruit of our life. That's why He says, I'll judge you by the fruit of your life, because He's already gone before us in all of this, all of these other things. He's made provision to cover our sins. He's made allowance for the places that we are unaware of, unrighteousness that is not imputed to us as sin. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about the things that we have had an awareness of, we've come to an understanding of, but we didn't commit to it. Righteous things. And we went and committed ourselves to the belief system of the world. It's dangerous. And you this morning can choose whether you're going to be good ground or whether you're just going to go out and adopt the beliefs of the nominal Christianity world that's out there today, which you can live almost any way you want. And I'm telling you something, it's wrong, it's false, it'll get you in trouble, and the fruit that will come out of your life will end in a bad taste. And if you're not very careful, it'll cost you your soul in eternity. I feel like too many people follow the example that James spoke of when the man looked at himself in the mirror and he saw what manner of man he was, and he walked out the door and promptly forgot what manner of man he was. See, they came to an awareness and understanding that, hey, my hair needs combed,
but then he walked out the door and then promptly forgot about it and didn't commit himself to taking care of the need of his soul. And so do you know what will likely happen this morning?
There will be some of you, I hope none of you, but probably there'll be some of you that you'll hear this message. There'll be things that the Lord will talk to you about and whisper in your ear, hey, you might want to think about this activity you're starting to accept that is contrary to what your parents have taught, what the church has taught, what the Bible teaches, and you have all the reasons why it's okay. And the Lord whispers in your ear, and unfortunately, many will go out that door, promptly forget, and not commit yourself to saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I want to be committed to this. This morning, I want to give the Lord space in my life. I want to put myself where He is. I don't want to go to places where He doesn't dwell. I want to be in service. I want to listen with an open ear to those that teach the Word. I want to listen to those that are a little further down the road than I am. And not just blow it off as, well, they're out of touch, they're out of date. God doesn't change. He hasn't changed. If we don't live this way, then as I mentioned earlier, by default, the world will take up the space that God wanted for him. And you will follow this sequence all the way to the fruit of your life, where the fruit of your life looks very little different than the fruit of the world. And all you have is an empty testimony of, well, I'm saved. Where's the fruit? The good ground that brought forth plentifully. There was hearing that took place. There was understanding that took place. And somewhere, there was a commitment that took place that resulted in fruit. I want my life to result in fruit. So I want you to be challenged and encouraged with this little thought this morning. Be careful what you expose yourself to. Be careful of the places that you go. People say, well, I can look at it and it doesn't affect me. Be careful what you watch. You say, well, I can overlook the things that I shouldn't be looking at. It doesn't really affect me. I take issue with that. Whatever you feed on begins to desensitize you to sin. And sin is no longer exceedingly sinful. And many times I've said, this awareness exposure thing leads to familiarity. And familiarity leads to tolerance. And tolerance will eventually lead to acceptance. And acceptance will often lead to participation. You don't usually go from exposure to participation all in one fell swoop. There's a process, and the enemy is patient. Let's be committed today to choose to be good ground and to seek to hear, to understand, and to bear fruit. I pray that the Lord will bless these thoughts.